Our scripture today comes from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. In those days, a decree went out from the emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child laying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told. The word of the Lord.
Months before Jesus was born, an angel appeared to Mary to give her some information about Jesus, the child she was going to carry and bear. And when Mary heard what the angel had to say, let me read to you her comments about it. "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, who has looked with favor on me, a lowly servant. From this day all generations shall call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is the name of the Lord, whose mercy is on those who fear God from generation to generation. The arm of the Lord is strong. It has scattered the proud in their conceit. God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich empty away. God has come to the aid of Israel, the chosen servant, remembering the promise of mercy and the promise made to our forebears, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary's concept of her understanding of what Jesus means is very different than how we often experience the world and the culture around us. We're in the midst of experiencing Christmas, and different people are experiencing it in such a variety of ways. And part of what I have been doing this year is thinking about how my own experiences of Christmas have changed so much and so radically from the time that I was a kid. I want to share some of those reflections with you and tie them in with some of the things that Mary is talking about in what we call the Magnificat. You can find that in the first chapter of Luke. When I was a kid, I had two sets of grandparents, and each set of grandparents had different ways of celebrating Christmas. We lived in northern Illinois, where my dad was a pastor, and the grandparents all lived in southern Illinois. And to be honest with you, I have very little recollection of Christmas in my own home growing up, because every time Christmas came around, we hopped in the car and we headed to southern Illinois. We were either with my mom's parents or my dad's parents, and it was two totally different cultures. My mom's parents were very properly British in their way of celebrating Christmas, and everything was just right, and you would walk in the house and things were everything shined and was polished, and we had a proper way that we did things. Everything would go along fine in its proper way, and then sometime, usually about an hour after lunch, my grandfather, who's a pastor, would say, I have to go visit a woman in the hospital. Every year he had a woman in the hospital about an hour after Christmas dinner that he would have to visit. And he would go away, and about a half hour after that, a man in a Santa Claus costume with a phony mask would show up at the house. And so that was always the Christmas that was there. My dad's parents, they were fresh out of the hills of Tennessee, and there was nothing polished at all in their house, and it was a much bigger family, and it was a pretty small house, and there were tons of relatives. And I remember Christmas after Christmas, when it came time to visit them, we kids were stuck in the basement. It was an unfinished basement, but that's where we slept on our army cots. And it was a wild and crazy Christmas. It was loud, and there were tons and tons of food. And in both places, there was so much joy. But as a kid, I just remember I would go from one type of Christmas to another type of Christmas. And then getting older and getting married, and our own kids were born, and suddenly Christmas began to shift in how I remember experiencing it. And what happened then was, by this time, my parents had started to, as the family was growing, they weren't going to my grandparents quite as often as they were. My grandparents were getting, my grandfather, who was the Santa Claus, had died by this time. And so at my parents, my dad is also a pastor. By this time, he was having Christmas Eve service. He was in churches that had Christmas Eve services. And so, we try to make it for the Christmas Eve service. And you know, when you get married, you try to make it to one side of the family, then you try to make it to the other side of the family. And, at that time, Mindy and Allison's mom was, from Pennsylvania. So all of her family was there. And I remember, there was a period there, around the time of getting married and the kids being little, where Christmas, it just was crazy. We were just trying to make, we were never at home for Christmas. We tried to make it to my parents. We would try to make it to Sharon's parents. We try to clear out in Pennsylvania. The number of Christmases that we ate Christmas dinner at a Denny's somewhere on Interstate 70 between Illinois and Pennsylvania, the number of Christmas days, by this time I had Christmas Eve services in my church. So we could never leave until early Christmas morning. And we try to be in Chicago for part of it. We try to be in Pennsylvania for part of it. And it was just crazy. And when the kids were about, 6 or 7, we thought, you know, we can't keep trying to do all these different types of Christmas traditions. And so we made an announcement one year with great fear and trepidation to all of the parents that we would not be home for Christmas over the season, that our kids were, you know, they were 4, 5, 6 years old, and we needed to be at our own house, and we were tired of trying to push them in. These were the days, I don't understand kids who, like, get up before sunrise on Christmas Day, and they want to get their presents open. I mean, our kids, we had to wake them up on Christmas Day, and then we had to yell at them to open their presents. They'd open a present, and then they'd want to play with it, and we'd have to yell at them, don't play with that present, open the next one. We've got to get in the car. We've got to drive to Pennsylvania. So we thought, you know, we didn't really want to keep doing Christmas that way. So we announced that we're going to have it at our house. And it actually worked out okay. And, you know, parents and grandparents, they usually only stay mad a little bit, or at least only let you know the first year or so, you know, that you're in the doghouse for that sort of thing. And so we developed Christmas traditions. And the girls developed their tradition of the presents would be under the tree. And as they got a little older, not much older, they'd start taking upon themselves the responsibility of fixing Christmas breakfast. It got better over the years as they would fix it for us. And they had menus and exotic things that they would fix. Always in our house, we'd sleep late, and then they'd have the breakfast, and then we'd get around to opening the presents late morning, and it would go on for an hour or two, because they were in charge of how we did that, and they wanted to make sure that we didn't rush the giving of the presents like had been done when they were little. And so we did that for many, many years, and we did it through our family, having ups and downs, and through good times, and through times that were difficult for us. And whenever Jay and Scarlett came into the family, Mindy and Allison continued to do those traditions. And it was a time for all of us to be together. Even though there had been brokenness in our family, Christmas is a time we did all get back together. And those were good years. And now we find ourselves, well, this started maybe 6, 7, maybe 8 years ago. Suddenly Mindy moves to California and Allison moves to Washington, D.C. And so suddenly these traditions and our ways of doing Christmas are changing again. And we're finding ourselves letting go of things that were very meaningful and very special to us. We have, Mindy lives in Champaign, Allison and Nelson live in Madison, Scarlett and Tristan live in, Lyle, and now we have a grandson. And we're kind of at that phase at the moment where, it's really difficult to try to figure out how to do Christmas with everybody scattered so far. I've got the Christmas Eve service here, so I can't get away. And it's almost torturous trying to, some of you may be in that place yourself where you've got family scattered different places or newly merged families or whatever. And you go for a spell and you're just not sure what to do. And everybody's kind of has this ulterior motive of, you know, wanting things to go their way and so forth. But I look forward to kind of getting out of this phase where the generation after me doesn't quite have their traditions yet. Once they do, they'll tell me, we're not coming home. we're not going to do it your way anymore. We've got a new way that we're doing. But they're not quite there yet where they have their new ways of doing things. And so the present moment is always a little bit, is awkward at this time. But I look forward to, Christmas in the future, as my kids develop their traditions, and I'll be able to see what they come up with, how they're able to do things better than I did, and I'll be able to see also how they've taken some traditions from the past and brought them into the future. When I think of Christmas, of course, it's not just my own personal experiences of the Christmas season that I think about, but I also think about how Christmas was experienced in biblical times, and how very, very different it was. I mean, there's a sense in which we could say in the Bible there was no Christmas, not in any sense that we know of it today. Yes, in Matthew there's a story about Jesus as a baby when Herod tried to kill him, and when Magi offered him gifts. And yes, in Luke, there is a story about, there's a story about the night that Jesus was born, and there are some stories about angels talking to Mary and some other family relatives prior to that time. But We don't find any stories in the Bible where Jesus had a Christmas tree, or they exchanged presents, or where they all got, of course, I mean, they lived in Israel. Of course they didn't have a ham for Christmas dinner. Nor did they have a turkey. And there are a couple stories in the Bible, but there was no Christmas in the Bible in the sense that we understand it and that we experience it today. They had other festivals that were very, very meaningful to them that brought families together and caused them to think about past years and caused them to think about the meanings and the importance of life. But in the Bible, there was no Christmas celebration as we know it. The Christmas celebrations actually, from what we can tell historically, did not begin until more than 300 years after Jesus was born. And it came about kind of like this. Most of you have probably heard of the Emperor Constantine, who in the AD 300s decided to become a Christian. Actually, Constantine was the kind of person who just like joined all the religions because he was always fighting with people and he wanted to be sure that God was on his side. So he just went along with all of the religions. And in one particular important battle, when he had prayed to the God that he understood to be revealed by Jesus, he happened to win that battle, and so he became a Christian. And it wasn't too long before the entire Roman Empire was converted to Christianity. And by this time, the empire was located not in Rome, but it was located in the east, in Constantinople. And people, because so many people became Christians, hundreds of years after Jesus' birth, there were lots of questions and there was a lot of curiosity about the story of Jesus' birth. It was something that people didn't start to dwell on till over 300 years after the stories we're singing about in Bethlehem. And what people wanted to do was they wanted to travel to the Holy Land and see these places that they had been reading in the Bible stories. And so a sort of a tourism industry began in the AD 300s. And one of the primary spots for the tourist industry, and we can know this from some of the diaries that were written in this time, and one of the primary spots for tourists was Bethlehem. They loved to go to Bethlehem because those stories in Matthew and Luke touched their hearts, and this is one of the places they went. We also know that there were some other holidays, cultural holidays that weren't Christian, and they started to get assimilated. And you can read Wikipedia and find the story of how Christmas was developed into our own day in different places around the world. But I want to go back to the Bible. And while there's not a Christmas celebration in the Bible, there's a Christmas theme in the Bible. It's a theme that we reenact every year when we light our Advent candles. It's a theme that we reenact every year. We remember it in powerful ways when we sing our songs and we read the scriptures from the prophets and from the Gospels. And in the Bible, Christmas is not so much a holiday as it was a hope that people had that there could be a better world. There was a need, not so much for a holiday, but there was a need for a moment where lives could be changed, where people who were at the bottom of the social order, and that was about 98% of the people, we estimate, where their lives could be blessed. There was a need for people to have hope in the midst of rampant disease and injustice. There was a need for people to have hope in the midst of being tired and weary of occupation armies in their land. And this is a need that was addressed by the prophets. We've been reading them through this Advent season. It was a need that was addressed to Mary that resulted in her giving this great praise to God when she found out that Jesus was going to be born. Her praise was not that she was going to have a child. Her praise was that her child was going to make a difference in the world. And so in the Bible, while we don't have a holiday, what we have is an important concept that will later be embodied in the holiday if we cannot lose it with all the shallowness. It's a concept that God loves this world, and God loves every person in this world. And anytime things are wrong, anytime systems, political institutions, governments make decisions that hurt people, the mighty will be pulled down from their thrones. The kings will be pulled down from their thrones. That's the line in the Magnificat. So our world in some ways is better than it was. We can cure more diseases than they could in the days of Jesus. We don't have overt slavery in our world like they did in those days. We have more democracies than they had in their days. But we still live in a world where people are struggling in very personal ways. We live in a world where there is covert slavery, even in our own country, in human trafficking. We live in a world where we're seeing gross inequalities, widening gaps between the haves and the have-nots. We live in a world where we still tinker and toy with subjects like nuclear annihilation. I'm not so sure that we've advanced that much. I know that we haven't advanced to the point that we don't need. Fact is, we still need that Christmas promise that was in the Bible. We really need God's love and God's light even more than we need the holiday and the cultural celebrations that we have. So, as people of faith, this is our opportunity to celebrate Christmas, enjoying the lights, enjoying the meals, enjoying the families, putting up with changing customs if our family happens to be at that particular point. But always, every year, the one thing that has not changed, no matter what our families are doing or not doing, how life might have changed or people we might have lost since last year, the one thing we don't ever lose is the sacred texts that remind us over and over, year after year, of the love and the goodness of God.